Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it's wonderful to be here tonight, to have this opportunity to worship the Lord and to study His Word. And it's a great way to spend an evening. I can't think of a better way to spend an evening. So what we're going to do is I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then we're going to sing some songs. Father in heaven, we come before You in prayer this evening, thanking Thee that Thou hast brought us here on this night to worship Thee. We thank Thee, O God, for calling us, for we know it is by Thy call that we are here. We are so appreciative of all that Thou hast done for us. And we pray, O God, that Thou wouldst be here this night, that Thou wouldst fill each and every one of us with the Holy Ghost. Let Thy Spirit flow. Inspire us, O God, to truly worship Thee in spirit and in truth. Move upon us with Thy Spirit, we pray. And let there be a mighty move of Thy Holy Ghost here this night. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if you can find your chorus book, we are going to start with number 91 tonight, Without Him, because we truly would be helpless without the Lord.
Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Jesus, abide with me as I travel life's rugged sea, and make my life what it ought to be. Jesus, abide with me. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, abide with me as I travel life's rugged sea, and make my life what it ought to be. Lord Jesus, abide with me. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, abide with me as I travel life's rugged sea, and make my life what it ought to be. Lord Jesus, abide with me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
And He has promised that He would never leave us. And we know that Jesus makes our lives worth living. I don't know what we would be doing without Him, but it wouldn't be good, that's for sure. Why don't we go to number 98 and sing Because He Lives?
Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future. Life is worth the living just because He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. The future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone, because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. Praise the Lord.
God, and we know our Savior lives today. That's a wonderful thing, and one fine day we're going to stand before Him. And for some people it'll be a horrible thing, but for those who know the Lord, for those who are the children of the Lord, it'll be the most awesome, wonderful day of your life. And every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Why don't we go to number 72 and sing, For He is Lord.
For He is Lord, He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. For He is from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. For He is Lord. He is Lord.
praise the Lord. That is a powerful confession of faith. It may seem like a simple little chorus, but there's power in those words. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go to number 111 and sing, I Shall Know Him. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, by the touch of the nail prints in His hands. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, by the touch of the nail prints in His hands. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, by the touch of the nail prints in His hands. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And it is such a wonderful thing to know we're going to stand before Him. Right there by His side. Praise the Lord. Looking forward to that day. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to do something we haven't really done in a long time. There's a couple of songs that I've been wanting to try for a while, and you know, you get a little nervous about it because you're not sure you remember how they go, but there's a couple of songs in the hymnal, and one of them, the first one, is number 46, and it's I Will Praise Him. And of course, that's a wonderful thing to do, to praise the Lord, to worship Him. I should mention, though, that we don't sing the fifth verse because it's not quite right, but the rest of the song is quite beautiful, so I'd like to try singing this song tonight. Number 46 in the hymnal, I Will Praise Him. Straight and narrow, all
swept away. My ambitions, plans, and wishes at my feet in ashes lay. I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood can wash away each stain. Then God's fire upon the altar of my heart was set aflame. I shall never cease to praise Him. Glory, glory to His name. I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood can wash away each stain. Blessed be the name of Jesus. I'm so glad He took me in. He's forgiven my transgressions. He has cleansed my heart from sin. I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood can wash away each stain. I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood can wash away each stain. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And it's so true, only His blood can wash away each stain. I am so thankful that He cleansed us and made us free from our sins. Praise the Lord. Well, I think what I'll do now is take up the collection, and we'll sing one more song. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee for Thy sustaining power. We thank Thee that Thou hast kept us here for so many years, for we know that we could not be here but by Thy mercy and Thy grace. And we thank Thee, O God, that Thou hast provided for our needs. And we pray, O God, that Thou hast give us the wisdom we need on how these funds should be used to further Thy kingdom for the purpose of Thy glory, Thy wonderful name.
And I pray, O God, that thou hast blessed the givers here tonight, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, there's a song I was thinking about trying tonight. And we might wait on that one because there's another one that came into my head and I just feel like it would be appropriate to sing it. I believe it's number 270. We haven't sang this one in quite a long time also. 270, Nothing But the Blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. So thankful for the cleansing power of His blood. For He washed our sins away. Praise the Lord. Well, with that thought, we're going to turn this over to Shirley and see what she has to say tonight.
Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise God. Well, it's been good to be here tonight, that's for sure. I just love to sing those songs and you know, be reassured of that hope that's deep in our hearts. I know it's going to be a wonderful day when we stand before Him, but you know, when you think about how most people are just out there, not aware, not thinking, or just sort of half thinking about the Lord once in a while, occasionally, you know, it's not fully in their heart or in their mind or, you know, in their actions. Oh my, I don't know how that's going to work for them. You know, it's going to be a surprise to so many people when it suddenly happens. And you know, they're going to be standing before that awesome God. And I know it behooves all of us to just be ready to have our hearts right and to live in that condition where we're always humble before the Lord and acknowledging Him and looking inwardly to just see if there be anything inside of us that might be opposing God and His ways, His nature, His will, all of that. But I'm thankful, I'm so thankful we can be here tonight and we have another opportunity to come before Him. Praise the Lord, praise God. We're going to pray as we begin here tonight and ask God to be here. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, that we could come before You, Lord. We ask, O Lord, that You'd be here in a mighty way, Lord Jesus. Oh God, that You'd speak to our hearts, one and all, Lord, that You'd give us ears to hear, eyes to see, a mind to perceive, Lord. Oh God, ability, Lord, to understand, oh Lord, the good things that You've written in the book, Lord, and those things that You put deep down in our hearts. Oh God, I pray that You'd talk to us, Lord. Oh God, that You'd bind the strong man, and oh Lord, oh God, all his undoings, Lord, all the things that he tries to come up against us with, Lord God, all his opposition, all his trickery, oh Lord, his cunning, his devices, oh God, his hindrances. God, I just pray, oh God, that you'd give us strength, that you'd give us overcoming strength, oh God, and ability, Lord. Oh God, we love you, Lord Jesus. You first loved us, and you made a way for us, Lord. Oh God, you made a way for us, Lord Jesus. We're here tonight, Lord, and I pray, oh God, that you'd be here to minister to our needs, Lord. You know us as individuals. You know every need here in this place, Lord. And I pray, oh God, that you would touch your people, Lord. Oh God, that you'd move in this place, Lord. Oh God, I pray, oh Lord, that you take away discomfort, that you take away pain, Lord, that you take away afflictions, God. I pray that you take away every hindrance, Lord, everything, oh God, that comes, oh Lord, to oppose us, Lord. You know how to do that, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord God. Oh, we praise you, Lord God. And oh, God, we put this all into your hands, knowing, Lord, that we are but dust of this earth, Lord, and we can do nothing without you, Lord. But here we are, God. We're here tonight, oh, God, to give you glory, to give you praise, to learn, oh, God. Oh, God, to draw nigh to you, Lord Jesus. I pray, oh Lord, that you talk to our hearts. And oh Lord, the strong man would be bound. Oh God, and that you'd help us now, Lord, that you'd speak to hearts, Lord. And oh God, if there be any that are not right with you, Lord, I pray that you would deal with that heart, Lord God, while there is yet time, Lord. Pray, oh God, that you prepare your people, Lord, that you get us ready for that great and terrible day of the Lord, God. We stand before you, Lord God. I pray that you would talk to hearts, Lord. Oh God, I pray that your spirit would fall, Lord. Oh God, and that you would convict of sin, Lord. And oh God, that you'd show us the things that we need to see and understand, oh Lord, that you'd be here, Lord God. Oh Lord, we praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Oh God, by the power of the blood, we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Okay, praise the Lord. I woke up today with plugged up ears, so it's just a little bit strange at the moment, but I believe God. He's always helped me. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, with the Lord's help here tonight, I am going to be talking about a subject that I think every person that attempts to walk with God has to deal with. I thought this over, and I wouldn't doubt that probably every day we have to battle. And I wouldn't doubt that every day that we have to work on pulling down strongholds And with the Lord's help here, we're going to deal with that subject tonight. We're going to be talking about pulling down the strongholds and go into Scripture. And I do believe the Lord did show me a few things today as I was studying it. It's been interesting. I saw my brother and my sister-in-law. They were with me the last couple days, Debbie and Jerry, and that was nice. I hadn't seen them for quite a long time. So I thank God, and you know, they're working for the Lord and trying to minister as they can, and they've seen some victories, and I thank God for that. I thank God for that. That's so beautiful. We all have battles. We all have things to overcome, and there's goals that we all have. There's, you know, things that we want to see accomplished in this world. There's people we want to see saved, you know, and by the grace of God, we can pull down strongholds. We could do that. And I do thank God. I know just talking with my sister-in-law, Debbie, just a bit, you know, I realize she's one that truly does believe in prayer. And I just thank God she has seen some victories. I know he has a son that, you know, really wasn't serving the Lord for a while. And she tells me at this point he's on fire for God. And I think that's beautiful. I just know that's just the Lord that did that. And, you know, their daughter, too, one of their daughters also just, well, really was having trouble. And it sounds like God is tugging at her heart and she's getting right. And I thank God for that, too. You know, that's beautiful. That's really beautiful. But, you know, there's something that often people don't realize when you come to the Lord. It's not an easy road. You know, God helps us. You know, he gives us strength. He equips us. And, you know, we could know him. And there's, you know, it's a wonderful thing to walk with the Lord. It's very, very precious. There's times that his presence comes down and fills our temple. And, you know, we feel that surge of his power. And, you know, there's times when we cry out to him that we know that he's there to meet our needs. And, you know, he touches us, he heals us, he strengthens us, he delivers us, and all these wonderful things. But there's often a tug of war. And a lot of times people don't realize, you know, I'm going to serve the Lord. But, you know, they think, but, you know, it's not an easy road. And you're going to be opposed. You're going to be fought. The devil isn't going to bother with those people he already has. Why should he? You know, I mean, they're already his. You know, he might, you know, let them have a wonderful life, so they think, you know. But, you know, he does oppose God's people. Because he's of that roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And he's very tenacious. He doesn't give up easily. But praise the Lord, we serve a God who is mighty. And he's mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter right now. Look at some of these verses. The help of the Lord here. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Praise the Lord. We're going to look at verse 3, 4, and 5 here. Give them some thought and see how the Lord leads and takes us here. It starts out by saying in verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Okay, we're going to just bear with these three verses here. We're going to stop right there here in Second Corinthians. And, you know, it's just some important details here, though. First of all, it tells us we walk in the flesh. And I guess we all very much know that. But, you know, we do not war after the flesh. And you notice quite a contrast from the Old Testament and New Testament. In the Old Testament, you know, they fought a lot of wars in the flesh. They always were, and it was a way of life for them. And that was God's way and will at that point. But I don't see that kind of battles going on, you know, those kind of battles going on in the New Covenant, in the New Testament. It changes. And we find out that there is a warfare going on, but it's not carnal. It's not after man's ways. It's not with weaponries of war. But it is a spiritual warfare. But yet, we can do it in victory with the Lord's help. It's something that we can fight with the Lord's help. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, it tells us. They're not, you know, just the physical elements, the usual type of warfare that people consider. But we have something beyond that. We can go to Almighty God and bring down strongholds. And how this is beyond our comprehension. I'm sure we just maybe have a little glimpse now and then of what God can do. It's far beyond what we've ever thought and considered, I do declare. And the more we can let our faith stretch and grow, you know, the more we can do by the grace of God. But praise the Lord, He's made a way for us so that we could overcome. So that we could bring down strongholds in any. This is something that weapons of war in the natural and the physical could never do. Our God is far mightier than any earthly force. He's beyond the force of man and their cunning and their devices and all of that. He's far beyond that. Besides that, He has mighty angels that stand with us to help us and to aid us and to minister to us. Oh, so we are very blessed. But then this third verse begins to explain how we can pull down strongholds. And like I said, I think this is something that if you examine your life, I'm just thinking about my own. I just have a feeling that every day there's probably some stronghold that tries to interfere in our life. That we have to bring down. I mean, it comes in all kinds of forms. Sometimes it's very negative emotions, you know. Sometimes, you know, the devil gets us thinking about somebody else and all we can see is, you know, all their glaring mistakes in our own thinking and this and that. And you know, it can be really a hindrance. And we might be completely wrong. And, you know, it's not good to think that way. And you know, sometimes it's just negative thoughts, you know, like, you know, habits that people don't think they can overcome. And, you know, they fight these kind of battles. And, you know, all these thoughts that press in, oh, God doesn't care. God doesn't save. God doesn't heal. He'd never do that. Oh, He'd never think that way. You know, and you know, it can go on and on. But, you know, if you give it some thought, I think probably every day there's opposition that comes to our mind. And as we can think, it's in our imaginations. You know, that's where the greatest battles go on. Because, you know, those hindrances want to come to mind and destroy faith. They want to destroy our thinking about God and you know, even maybe making intercession for others or whatever. They want to interfere with the things that God might be pressing upon us to do. You know, it could be all kinds of different type of things. You know, I know I had a telephone call last night from a very discouraged individual and you know, obviously this person was fighting a battle. You know, a strong battle, and you know, he was very, very discouraged. But praise the Lord, you know, you get thinking of the good things of God and what He's done for us and what His Word declares, His wonderful promises, and you know, you start thinking the other way, and all at once, you realize our God is far beyond these earthly problems that we always are, you know, involved with. So, our mind does a lot of fighting. But praise the Lord, it tells us here, and it's good to be aware that we're fighting in the spiritual realm. You know, you've got to kind of know that. Otherwise, you know, all these things might come and flood you. They might just overwhelm you. And you know, you might not even realize who's fighting, who's opposing you. You know, what the battle is all about. I've dealt with a lot of people, and this is a subject that comes up so often. People that are full of fear and are being opposed, and there might be other elements that they're involved in their life. They you know, they might I'll be opposing devils in reality, and they have strongholds in their own lives, things that they haven't let go of, you know, things that they haven't been aware of, that they're hanging on to, or, you know, not unleashing faith or something, you know, or not leasing faith so that they can believe God, whatever. All there's all kinds of warfare that goes on in the mind. Sometimes it's unforgiveness, you know, things that people hold in their heart. Sometimes that's a very big stronghold, you know. Oh, I just could never forgive that person. They hurt me so bad. And you know, wow, it can go on and on. But the Lord has a way to help us to overcome. And here it tells us to cast down imaginations, all these things that try to interrupt the spiritual thought process in our heart, all these things that try to seek to destroy us and overwhelm us and get our minds off God. I mean, there's all kinds of distractions and avenues and possibilities here. So here we're told to cast down imaginations, all these things that come to intervene and interfere with our life. And then it says, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And I think this is one good way to tell oftentimes what we're battling. If it opposes the scripture, if it opposes the knowledge of God, if it's, you know, contrary to what the book says, what the Bible says, then it's, you know, we're being opposed by the evil and by the tempter and in our own flesh and blood and all of that. If it is opposing, in opposition to the knowledge of God. And it tells us to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. In other words, submitting to God. Every thought needs to be submitted to His will and His purpose, His plan. It needs to conform to what God thinks and what He's proposing in our lives. So I think there's some wonderful things to consider here. And it tells us quite clearly here how to fight the spiritual battles, how to overcome, how to be strong in the Lord. First, if we go to 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, we all know that we have an enemy who can be very real, very destructive at times, very hindering. And of course, 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, tells us to cast all our care upon Him, for He careth for you. And then it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So here is more power to overcoming here, more thoughts that will help us to know how to resist. Of course, it tells us, first of all, that we need to be sober and be vigilant. In other words, to be watchful, because we do have an adversary. We're not being unopposed, you know, and he's quite unrelenting. He's a roaring lion, as a roaring lion, it tells us. And he's walking about. He's not just standing still in one little corner, you know, just focusing on one effort or one aspect. He's walking about seeking whom he may devour. And you know what I've noticed? He looks for weak links, anything to get into, you know, a particular place to seek to destroy, to hinder, to let down. You know, I've known for many months that we've been opposed here in this church. I've seen the devil work in all kinds of ways. And I know he's been trying to bring this church down. I know he's been trying to stop it. And each and every one of us, he'd like to see us all just reject the Lord and go the other way. I'm sure he would. But we could be sober. We can be vigilant. We could be watchful. It says in verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith. There is resistance that we can do. when he comes, when the enemy comes upon us like a flood. We know it's the Spirit of the Lord can lift up a banner against that opposition. The Spirit of the Lord can come in to take over. And he's given us some tools. He's given us some ways to overcome. He didn't leave us defenseless. He didn't leave us powerless. He gave us ability to overcome. And I thank God, you know, he just did, you know, leave and leave us comfortless. He knew that we were going to need strength beyond our own nature and our own power, our own ability. He knew that we were going to need the gift of the Holy Ghost in order to overcome. And so he didn't leave us comfortless. But he came unto us and he filled us with the Holy Ghost when we yielded our life to him and truly submitted to him. He filled us with the Holy Ghost so that we could resist steadfast in the faith. And it says, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. In other words, all are opposed. All of God's children are opposed. It isn't just one person in particular that the devil tries to do a sneak attack on. It's all of those that are trying to live godly in Christ Jesus. In fact, it tells us that all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You know, the devil is that roaring lion. And that's just a simple fact. But praise the Lord, we can oppose him. We can resist him. We can remain steadfast in the faith and fight that battle and win it. By the grace of God. Amen. I'm going to also now go to Psalms 31. And I think this Psalms has a great deal on fighting the adversary and how to win. And we can look at this. It's a Psalm of David. We're going to start with verse 9. And in this psalm, there's one thing David was fighting. But as it continues, we see how he gains victory and how he shows faith, and how he rebukes the enemy, how he cries for deliverance, and he wins this victory. He wins the battle. He has victory. Let's look at it. Here it is, verse 9. It says, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity. My bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance that they that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. So here he is. And David, of course, went through so much, and truly he was opposed. He was opposed by those that even were his own family at times. He was opposed by the king, Saul, and we know how he had to flee for his life more than once, and how it was, you know, months and months that he was fleeing. It wasn't an easy thing at all, and there were other things, and at times, yeah, I suppose he was his own worst enemy, you could say, because, yes, you know, at times he fell, at times he sinned, and at times he had trouble. You know, there were consequences, and he fought battles. That's one thing is for sure, he's always fighting battles. So here it tells us he's fighting, he's crying out, he's singing in verse 9 again, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. And how many times have we cried that? You know, we are in one of those spots again, and sometimes it looks like there's no way out, and it seems like there's no apparent answer, and you just don't know. It's another dilemma. Oh, well, you know, maybe it's a bill that you need to pay, and there's no money. You know, maybe it's a sickness and it seems like there's no cure. I don't know what all it is, but you know, we fight. And oftentimes we find ourselves in trouble. Or maybe it's one of our loved ones that are in trouble and, you know, we don't know how to help them and it seems impossible. And here's David. He's fighting this again. His eye is consumed with grief. And you know, the problem is so big. That's all he could see. It's just overwhelmed him. It's just taken over. And all he can see is this negative thing, this big blotch that's right in front of him. And you know, it seems like at the moment there's no help. And here he's crying out. He's talking about, oh, there's nothing but grief, grief, grief. He's talking about the grief and my soul and my belly. There's just that anguish, you know, deep down inside and internally, just, you know, not knowing what to do and in despair, crying out here. And he, you know, he's lamenting his whole life with grief and my years with Zion. And you know, sometimes troubles do last for, you know, it's a long siege sometimes before it seems like the answers come and the battle begins to abate. It could maybe be months and months or even years. But here he is in the midst of this battle, and he's talking about his strength faileth because of mine iniquity. And so obviously at this point it was probably, you know, a mistake that he had made, a sin that he had committed because of mine iniquity. And then he talks about my bones are consumed. So even internally, you know, he doesn't feel any strength. And it seems hopeless, obviously. He's only seeing the trouble. And then it's the attitude of other people. And this is what he's fighting to. He says, I was a reproach among all mine enemies, you know, and they're all looking at him, he feels, they're all gazing at him, and they're all against him, and, you know, he says he was reproached among all his enemies, but then he says, especially my neighbors, those that were close to him, his own neighbors, you know, they're not exactly friendly at this moment. They obviously seem to be opposing him. And he says, a fear to mine acquaintance. You know, nobody knows what to think. And they're all standing in it seems like, in awe of, you know, what's going on here and wondering how in the world, you know, they're going to help him if they even would consider doing that or what's going on. Or maybe, you know, they just, you know, just let him have it at that point. It says, they that see me without fled from me. So obviously, they were leaving him alone. He felt quite abandoned at this moment, it appears. There's nobody standing there with him. And I suppose we've all gone through spots where we seemed alone. I think no one as much as our Lord Jesus, who there, as I recall in Gethsemane, how he fought that alone, knowing what he was going to have to go through and opposition and how he was going to have to give his life on that cross. And not only that suffering and pain, but the anguish of taking on our sin. Oh my, you know, the turmoil there in Gethsemane. Yes, Jesus knows what it's like to be alone. Nobody there to strengthen him. Nobody to pray with him. Except the angels came and strengthened him, it tells us in the scripture. But as far as his own disciples, they didn't have that fortitude. They didn't have that strength at the moment. They abandoned him. They couldn't pray 1 hour with him at that moment. But here David, too, is feeling very, very alone. And then he says, I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. He says, I am like a broken vessel. In other words, he feels completely useless besides. And you know, you might as well be dead. It's like a dead man. You know, nothing is going right. Nothing feels right. It doesn't seem like any hope. And he doesn't feel like there's any use to him, his efforts. It's quite a position to be in. And it says in verse 13, for I have heard the slander of many. Fear was in every side while they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life. So besides that, there's a conspiracy going on. And they're trying to get rid of him. You know, he's not very liked at this moment. And you know, he's even heard. He overheard some other conversation. And they're talking about, you know, what to do. And it's not very pretty. And again, how many times did they do that to Jesus? How many times did they conspire against him and, you know, get together, the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, the scribes, and try to consider how they might get rid of him? Oh, wow, he's just doing too much good, you know, healing too many people, delivering too many people from devils, and, you know, teaching the people besides in a way that they'd never been taught before. And you know, how can we put up with that? But here's David going through this sort of thing, forgotten as a dead man, like a broken vessel, hearing the slander of many, fear on every side. Oh, they don't know what to think. And, you know, as their leader, it's like, you know, they don't have any faith or trust in him at the moment. And so all they're thinking is, he's no good. He's no good. We might as well take away his life. But as we go to the next portion of Scripture, we find something else happening. Yes, he's expressed all these thoughts here, and there's quite a list here of all the negatives that are coming to his mind, and all the opposition that he's feeling, and all the battles that he's fighting here. And yeah, I mean, these battles in the mind. And, you know, I think we as human beings have gone through similar things, one way or the other, not maybe to this extent. But, you know, if we think about it, I think we'll all realize that there have been moments when we've gone through all kinds of negatives, and sometimes that's all you can see, a big screen of negatives, one after the other, you know, just coming to the mind. But all at once, something changes. David begins to encourage himself. Let's start with verse 14. It said, "But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God." He begins to think in a spiritual manner. And he says in verse 15, "My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me." All at once, you can see just, you know, a little faith starting to emerge here. And he's acknowledging, "My times are in thy hand." And, you know, it is true. You know, the 37th chapter of Psalms tells about how all the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And I'm sure that goes for all of God's people, that our steps are ordered, they're ordained by God Almighty. So here, he's realizing that "my times are in thy hand." It's all ordered of the Lord. And God is fully capable to deliver, to assist, to help, to avail, to prevail in every struggle, in every need. So here it says, "Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me." So here it changes as a cry for deliverance. And then he says in verse 16, it says, "Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake." Oh, he's talking about the blessings of the Lord. When God's face shines upon his people, it's speaking of blessings, God's blessings. And I couldn't help but think of what God told Moses to have Aaron and his sons say to the people as a blessing. Numbers 6, verse 23, "Speak unto Aaron, unto his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee, the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them." Oh, that's the goodness of the Lord. That's his mercy toward his children that fear him. You know, the blessings that God would have on his people. "The Lord bless thee, keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee." And you know, we know how it was when Moses came down from the Mount Sinai, that the glory of the Lord shone upon his countenance. It was so powerful that he had to put a veil over his face. And I believe that same glory could glow on our countenance too. When we're in God's presence, God can make His face shine upon us when we're reflecting Him, when we're witnessing, when we're going before the enemy. The Lord can make His face to shine upon us and be gracious upon us and lifting up His countenance upon us and giving us peace. Oh, what beautiful blessings. And it tells of how that God would put His name upon the children of Israel and bless them. Praise the Lord. You know, we have the privilege of going down in the waters of baptism and taking the name of the Lord Jesus Christ upon ourselves. At that moment, when those sins are remitted in those waters of baptism, praise the Lord, He puts that name on our foreheads. And, you know, He seals us with His Spirit. And praise the Lord for that. But that's the blessings of the Lord. And that's how He shines through His people. So David, as he was beginning to encourage himself back here in Psalms 31, he says, "Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake." And then, verse 17, "Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed. Let them be silent in the grave." And I'll tell you, when we stand before God, if all is well with our soul, we're not going to be ashamed. At that moment, those that oppose and reject and have stood against God are going to be greatly silenced and greatly ashamed at that moment. But God's people shall never be ashamed if they have stood up and represented the Word of God and been true to the living God. What a beautiful thing. So here it is. He's beginning to encourage himself and he's beginning to fight. He's beginning to fight. As he says, "Let the wicked be ashamed and let them be silent in the grave," he's beginning to rebuke the enemy. He's beginning to oppose them and come against them. Verse 18, it says, "Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous." So here he is. He's beginning to oppose the enemy and rebuke them so that he could press forward and bring down that stronghold. And that's something else that we, as God's people, desperately need to do also. Jesus understood that very well. When we think of Luke, the 4th chapter, when Jesus was being tempted, the Lord Jesus knew exactly what to do when he was opposed. And it's such a beautiful example. If we would just turn there briefly, we see that pattern. And we know that it was right after Jesus was baptized that he was led into the wilderness. And it wasn't going to be an easy thing. He was going to be tempted in that wilderness for 40 days. He was tempted of the devil, it tells us in this 4th chapter of Luke. And, you know, he was fasting. He did eat nothing at this point. And finally, when these 40 days were over, he was hungry. And I've spoken of this before. I've mentioned this before. And we know that, you know, indeed, I believe he was starving at this point, at a very low moment physically. And the devil came to him at that point. Like I said, the devil's always looking for weak links. And I suppose he was even coming after the Son of God at such a moment. But our God knew how to fight. Our Savior knew how to fight. And of course that, you know, old devil, the roaring lion, going after him, saying, "If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread." You know, just at that point when he really needed food. And God could do that. He could, you know, he could turn a stone into bread. But this wasn't appropriate. This wasn't right. This was the devil instigating it. And Jesus clearly understood that and knew it. He said, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." So he opposed the devil. He rebuked the devil by taking the word of God and applying it at this moment. And of course, the devil tried again. He took him up to a high mountain and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil tempted him by saying, "All this power will I give thee and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me and to whomsoever I will give it." The devil assuming he had all that power. "If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine." Oh yeah, that would have really been something if Jesus would have worshipped the devil. But Jesus understood. You know, this was the devil coming with his cunning, his devices, his manipulations, trying to destroy him, actually. This would have been completely detrimental to the work of God if he would have given in and worshipped Satan. I mean, oh wow, everything would have changed. But Jesus saw and understood and knew exactly what to do. And what did he do? He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." He knew exactly what to say at that moment. He rebuked him. "Get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." There is no way we need to worship the devil. There is no way we want to give him homage and glorify him in any way or manner. But the devil tried again, didn't he? This time he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on a high point of the temple on the pinnacle there, and told him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence." And the devil even knew Scripture. And we know that the devil does know Scripture. And sometimes he might come to us in this manner too, with Scripture even, trying to get us to look at it in a lopsided way, in the wrong way. But Jesus knew how to handle this, didn't he? Even though the devil was using Scripture, Jesus said, "It is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And that was the end of it. The devil left. The devil left. Jesus knew exactly how to rebuke him. And so all that hindering was stopped. And the devil had no victory in this way at all, but Jesus totally demolished his efforts, completely stopped his efforts from prevailing. And I thank God. But what a pattern for us. What an example in how to rebuke the enemy. And here in this psalm, David too is beginning to rebuke the enemy. "Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous." And then from that point on, David goes on remembering the goodness of the Lord. I think this is quite a pattern. If we look at verse 19, we see that David is beginning to apply faith and show great thankfulness for what God has already done in his life. He's not in the negative valley anymore. He's removed himself from that. And things are going to change. And it's true with each and every one of us. If you know, you get into a place where everything looks hopeless and vain and futile, and you know you don't know what you're going to do next, and you know you have all these questions. You can't stay there in those negatives. You can't just, you know, keep on pondering them and building them up and, you know, letting that wall get higher and higher and higher. You've got to let that wall go. You've got to break through. You've got to overcome that wall that the devil is trying to put up. He's trying to stop you. He doesn't want you to gain the victory. He doesn't want you to overcome. He doesn't want you to show faith. He doesn't want you to think about the Lord and his goodness and his mercy, his kindness and his mighty power, his ability to sustain us, to help us, to do things that seem impossible to us. So here David, as he's fighting, he says, "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men." Oh, he's beginning to remember what God has wrought, what God has done, what God has worked and fashioned for those that trust in him. And then he talks about the secret place of thy presence. I think this is so beautiful. In verse 20, it says, "Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues." And I think this is so beautiful, the Lord's ability to hide us, to keep us, to talk to us, to strengthen us. I know just across the page in my Bible, Psalms 32 verse 7, it says, "Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah." And that's our God. He can hide us in the secret of his presence. You know, from the pride of man, from all the trouble, from all the strife, from all the envying, from all their wicked devices, he can make a way for us. And he knows perfectly well how to do it. And I like, too, how it's expressed here in Psalm 32. "Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah." Those songs of deliverance. You know, it's a wonderful thing when we begin to sing those songs of deliverance. When, you know, faith begins to rise in our hearts, and all at once we're thinking about what God has done, and all at once those melodies of praise come out of our hearts. You know, you think of Paul and Silas there in the prison there in Philippi, and you know, they had just been beaten with all those stripes there, the 16th chapter of Acts, and you know, it should never have been. It was unjust. There was no reason they hadn't, you know, done anything, you know, to harm any other person. There was no reason for that kind of treatment. And they were cast unjustly into the prison. And there they were, beaten many stripes. And I'm sure they were in great pain. But you know how the scripture tells us how at midnight, there they lifted up their songs. They began to sing. They began to worship. They began to praise the Lord. And you know, it tells us that all the other prisoners heard them. They heard them singing those songs of deliverance. Oh, that joyful noise unto the Lord. And you know, when you begin to reflect upon the Lord, when you begin to sing and praise and worship Him, things begin to change. It's not going to change if you stay down in the lows, in the negatives, in the doubts and in the fears. You just stay right there and wallow in that, you know, that pity, or, you know, all those, you know, things that seem impossible. You know, if you don't want to get up out of that rock, that pit, you know, well, just keep on thinking negatively. But there's a way that God will deliver his people. And I love how in this 31st Psalm, how David gains the victory. He's so low there at the first, but he begins to encourage himself, and he rebukes the enemy, and then he begins to remember the good things of God, and he begins lifting him up and talking about that wonderful place where the Lord can hide us in that secret pavilion that he has for his people. And those wonderful songs of deliverance, oh, those songs in the night, oh, sometimes it just seems so dark and so low, and you know, maybe you might even be in great pain, but there's something about it. You can just lift up your voice to the Lord. If you could just sing those praises to the Lord, there's deliverance. The Lord knows how to do it. He knows how to set you free. You know, it might be after a time. And I've seen God do that so many times in my own life. It, you know, you might have been fighting a battle, and it might have been raging for a while. But somehow, if you can just show faith and keep pressing, going forward, and, you know, lifting up faith in your heart, singing those songs of praise, there are breakthroughs. The Lord sees that. The Lord hears that. And all at once, things begin to change. What a wonderful thing when the Lord begins to work on the heart and begins to change things. You know, Psalms 46 too is so beautiful. So many of the Psalms are. But it starts by saying, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Of course, we love it. It says, therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. You know, that's getting pretty hopeless, you know. If the earth is removed and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, you know, but it will be that way one day. Oh my, this earth is going to be consumed. It is going to be destroyed. It is going to be carried away. It is going to be removed. All of that is going to happen. But yet, if our hope is in the Lord, if we're anchored in the Lord, if He's our refuge and our strength, that very present help in trouble, therefore, we're not going to fear. We're not going to be afraid. Because our confidence, our hope, is it God? We're hanging on to His promises and what His Word has declared. And it's deep down in our heart. It's not just a passing thought. But it's something that we hang on to. It's something that we live for. Something that we love. Something that we know. Something that gives us great reassurance in our heart. So praise the Lord. We as God's children have a way to gain the victory. And I thank God. It continues in verse 21. Blessed be the Lord, for He hath showed me His marvelous kindness in a strong city. Oh, here He's lifting up praise and thankfulness to a God who has helped him and been his refuge and so kind and compassionate in his lifetime. And then he remembers here in verse 22, it says, for I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. Now he's realizing, here he was. He was so negative. And that was in his haste when he was, you know, not thinking properly. I am cut off from before thine eyes. You know, he wasn't showing faith at that moment. He wasn't resting on God's promises. And all at once he realizes it. Oh, wow, Lord, please. I realize I was so wrong. I was so negative. I wasn't showing haste. And now there's regret. He is seeing beyond that, beyond the troubles. And all of us, you know, I mean, it can overwhelm us. The enemy can come upon us like a flood. It just can be overwhelming at times. But we have to learn how to lift up faith, how to rest in God's promises, and how to cry out to the Lord in faith and to apply it. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. He's acknowledging that God had heard him in the midst of his great trouble. God had heard him when he was crying out to him. And then as it ends, it says, O love the Lord, all ye saints. For the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. All ye that hope in the Lord. And here, as he's ending this, he's beginning to encourage others, isn't he? He's beginning to be exhortful there. Yes, he says, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. All ye that hope in the Lord. What an amazing place the Lord took him from. There, such great despair, such trouble, such anxiety, such a hopeless condition, and just seeing the trouble. But what a change when he began to lift up the Lord and stand on his promises and show faith and reflect upon the goodness of the Lord. All at once, you see how everything changes, and all at once he can admonish the others. Oh, love the Lord, all ye saints. For the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Oh, standing on his promises and living for the Lord. Oh my, there's great, great strength in that. What a wonderful opportunity we have in the Lord. And surely the Lord has given us those ways to bring down those strongholds. We can see how lifting up faith and how being thankful and how rebuking the enemy, how that all has power to it. And there's other things that the Lord has allowed us to do as His children. I know in James, the fourth chapter, we're told that we are to submit, therefore, to God, to resist the devil and he will flee. He tells us to draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to us. Those are his promises. That is how we can gain the victory when we're being opposed, when we're being flooded over by the things of this world, by the flesh, by the opposition from those that don't fear the Lord. But we have the ability to submit ourselves, therefore, to God. We give ourselves to God. And on the other hand, we resist the devil, just as Jesus did when he was being tempted there in the wilderness. And it tells us very clearly, resist the devil and he will flee from you. The devil will have no strength if we've submitted to God, if we draw nigh to God, if we resist the enemy and oppose him and have no fear. Tells us to draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. There's a secret there. A lot of times people want God to just, you know, miraculously pick them up out of the mucky mire and, you know, give them total victory. But God does expect us to cry out to him. David cried out to him in this psalm. God expects it of us too, to draw nigh to him. And he, it tells us, will draw an eye to us. He's listening for those cries. He's looking for those that will submit their lives to him and come unto him. And then it says to cleanse your hands, ye sinners. That's repentance. That's turning away from any sin and anything that would so easily beset. It says to purify your hearts, ye double-minded. It's turning everything over to God and not trying to live in two worlds and not being double-minded. There's great victory in this. Also, if we go to Ephesians, the sixth chapter, we see another way to defeat the enemy and to pull down the strongholds. Ephesians 6, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. All this trickery, all this cunning, we put on the armor of God. And it explains in verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Again, you know, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Because we're fighting spiritual battles in this world in which we live. And this scripture goes along with that. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but it's the unseen elements. We're fighting against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. All of that may come down us in a flood. You know, the devil has his people too, and they may very well be used of him to oppose us. The edicts of men and who knows what else. It's all in opposition quite often. But we have an ability to put on the armor of God. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Oh, praise the Lord, the evil day. And yet standing, we can't do it of our own self, not of our own power, not of our own strength or might, but it has to be with the armor of God. So we stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel peace, above all taking the shield of faith wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The powerful arm of prayer, and prayer in the Spirit, supplication in the Spirit, coming before God in the Spirit. And, you know, so often we don't know even how to pray. And that is a wonderful ability the Lord has given us. When he filled us with the Holy Ghost, he gave us the ability to pray in the Spirit. And that's, wow, a wonderful tool that the Lord has given us. Just going to Jude just for a moment here. It talks about that also. Verse 20, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I don't know how often I've prayed in the Holy Ghost, because honestly, with my own mind, with my own ability, my own thinking, I honestly didn't even know how to pray. Sometimes you don't even know what the opposition is. You know, you feel it, you know it, you know, and you're hindered, and you know you're laid low, and who knows what else. And it could be a physical ailment that you're fighting. But praise the Lord, we can pray in the Spirit. When we're filled with the Holy Ghost, that's how we build ourselves up in our most holy faith, by praying in the Holy Ghost. I know as I was conversing with my sister-in-law, Debbie, she was telling me, she and Jerry were telling me how there's a woman, a missionary woman, and I believe she's like 80 at this point, who travels here and there. And she travels to countries where it's a different language and she doesn't know the language, but she just ministers through the Holy Ghost. And it was interesting that she mentions that. She just lets the Lord give her the tongue of those people, and she is able to minister to them. I'll tell you what, I've thought of that many times, when, you know, the Holy Ghost comes upon you and you just keep praying, and you know, you don't know exactly what you're saying, but you know, the Holy Ghost is praying through you, and you know, God knows how to fight battles through that. It's a powerfully strong weapon that he has given us, so that we can overcome and so that we can fight these battles, so we can bring down the strongholds. And I just thought that was so amazing, because it's occurred to me at times, you know, could we just pray in the Holy Ghost and you know, minister to people, even if we didn't know their tongue? And literally, here's a woman who is doing that. And I just thought that was just so encouraging. But the Lord has given us those abilities. And of course, in Ephesians 6, we were talking about the armor of God. You know, we gird our loins about with the truth. You know, we get into the Word, and you know, there's nothing greater than this Word to cherish and to love and to want to know. You know, so we just, you know, devour it. We put as much into our heart as we possibly can. We have our loins, therefore, girt about with truth. We put on that breastplate of righteousness, not of our own, but of the Lord. His goodness, his mercy, his saving strength, and how he cleanses us and gives us his righteousness. And we put on our feet, that preparation of the gospel of peace. Our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We prepare our minds to take it to others, so that we can minister as the need comes. And it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Oh, faith, that victory that overcomes the world. That wonderful ability to have faith in the midst of a great trial. I think we as God's children all know what it's like sometimes to, you know, be downright fighting something and down in that negative valley, and how beautiful it is when faith begins to work in our heart. And just as David was fighting in that 31st Psalm, you know, all at once, it's just like faith enters in, and all at once you see past all the troubles of this world, all the afflictions, all the turmoil, all the negative details, and you know, all the nasties, you know, and all the opposition, and all at once that faith rises. Oh, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. It's a wonderful thing that begins to work in our life, and we begin to rest on His promises, knowing that He has said that He would never leave us nor forsake us, and that He would be with us even until the end of the world. That faith begins to enter into our hearts. And here it tells us that's how we quench. That's how we stop all the fiery darts of the wicked. We halt them. You know, we put them to nothing, to naught, by letting faith arise in our hearts. And then we take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, all of these things together, the goodness of God, what He has done for us. And we let it rise in our spirit. And of course, that wonderful ability to pray, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Oh, wow, praise the Lord, letting the Holy Ghost pray through us, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You know, just continuing. And you know, there's quite a turnaround quite often when you begin to pray for others. You know, if you're just concentrating all the time on your own problems, your own sickness, your own hurts, your own pain, your own lacks, you know, you really don't get very far that way. If you're just, you know, letting that hit you all the time and just, you know, dwelling on that, it doesn't go very far. But there's something beautiful when you begin to make supplication for the others. You know, when you begin to lift up others unto the Lord and begin to bring their troubles, their needs before God, and sometimes not even knowing what the particulars are, but again letting the Holy Ghost pray through us. What a wonderful thing that is. What a wonderful ability. But He gave us these tools. We can put on His armor so that we can fight. It's not our own strength. It's not our own mind. It's not our own ability by any means. We could never do it without the Lord. We could never do it without His armor, His provisions, His ways. You know, we could never be righteous without His righteousness. How He has cleansed our heart from sin, how we can praise Him because He's taken all the ugly spots in our life and all the ugly things that, you know, happened in the past and totally forgiven us. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing. And then He clothed us with His garment of righteousness. Oh, wow. So it would be works of righteousness which we have done, but by His mercy that He saved us. And what a precious thing it is. What a wonderful gift the Lord has given us. And of course, He gave us that ability to bind and to loose. And of course, in Matthew 16 and also in Matthew 18, the Lord Jesus told His apostles how to do that. We just go to Matthew 18 here for a moment, verse 18 in that chapter. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And praise the Lord, He's given us that ability to bind and to loose. You know, I don't think we do this often enough. You know, when there's opposition, there's strongholds, it may be in your son's life, your daughter's life, your parents' life. You know, it could be all different individuals. You know that there's a stronghold. And, you know, sometimes it just doesn't seem like you're getting anywhere. Sometimes it seems like there's no words that you could even say. But the Lord has given us this ability to bind those wicked spirits, that opposition, those hindrances, all those things that are clobbering the people, that are holding them tight, you know, keeping them prisoner, keeping them bound. We can loose them in the name of the Lord Jesus from that opposition, from those hindrances, from that fear, from all of that. And we can loosen. We can loosen faith. We could loosen all the other attributes of the Spirit for those individuals and ask the Lord to come into their life and strengthen them. Oh, it's a wonderful thing. You know, God has called us. He has made a way for us. And as David of old was able to fight, and I think, you know, the wars that they fought there in the flesh, in the natural, were all... We all teach us how to fight in the spiritual, because as we know here, as we close here, and as we just again remember those portions of scripture here from 2 Corinthians here, the 10th chapter, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. It's a wonderful gift the Lord has given us. And again, how to do it? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. I clearly think that's what David was doing there in that 31st Psalm. He was a little different there. He didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost at that point. But yet, he knew how to fight. And God helped him. God encouraged him. God strengthened him. And I believe he won that battle there that he was fighting. You know, it looked so hopeless. It looked, oh Lord, it looked like, you know, there was no end to it that would be positive. But I believe God delivered him. I believe God set him free. And, you know, it shows us how to go about it. Oh, how that we can lift up hope. How we can lift up faith. How we can be thankful. How we can pray for the others. How we can rebuke the enemy. And it all brings strength. It all brings power. It all brings deliverance. And praise the Lord, those strongholds can go down. It's not going to be might by might, nor by earthly power, by any means, but by the strength of the Lord, His ability, His greatness, His power. Praise the Lord. The arm of flesh will fail us, but God is mighty to help us. He gives us hope when the night is darkest. He gives us strength when we have no strength of our own. And that power, that faith, when it seems that everything is negative and nasty. But praise the Lord, we can lift Him up. We can gain the victory. We can pull down those strongholds through our God, who is mighty to save, mighty to heal, mighty to deliver. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Oh, praise God. Oh, praise the Lord. You know what? I don't think my ears are as clogged anymore. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. There's great victory in Jesus. Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. We are going to sing number 77 in the chorus book, In the Name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devils will have to flee. Tell me who can stand before us when we come in His great name. Jesus, 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 we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devils will have to flee. Tell me who can stand before us when we come in His great name. Jesus, 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 we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devils will have to flee. Tell me who can stand before us when we come in His great name. Jesus, 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 we have the victory. Praise the Lord. You're dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.